Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
29.
No? Okay. Kama Bhavatsva Vijinaya Nirayeshu Natsat. Cheto livad yadinute padayorameta.
Cheto livad yadinute padayorameta.
Vachascha nastulasi vad yaditengrisho vach.
Vachascha nastulasi vad yaditengrisho vach.
Purieta te gunaganair yadikarna randraha.
Purieta te gunaganair yadikarna randraha.
Kanam bhavat svavijinair nirayeshu nakstaj.
Kanam bhavat svavijinair nirayeshu nakstaj.
Cheto livad yadinute padayorameta.
Cheto livad yadinute padayorameta.
Vachascha nastulasi vad yaditem brishoba.
Vachascha nastulasi vad yaditem brishoba.
Purieta te gunaganair yadikarna randraha.
Purieta te gunaganair yadikarna randraha.
Kamam.
Kamam.
As much as desired.
As much as desired.
Bhavaha.
Bhavaha.
Birth.
Svavijinai.
Svavijinai.
By our own sinful activities.
By our own sinful activities.
Nirayeshu,
in
low births.
In
low births. Naha,
our.
Stat.
Let it be.
Let it be.
Chetaha.
Minds.
Alivat.
Alivat.
Like bees.
Like bees.
Yadi.
Yadi.
If.
If.
Nu.
Maybe.
Maybe. Te. Your. Padayo, at your lotus feet.
Rameta,
are engaged.
Vacha,
words.
Cha,
and.
Naha,
our.
Tulasi vat.
Like the tulasi leaves.
Yadi,
if.
Te,
your.
Angri,
at your lotus feet.
Shobha,
beautified.
Purieta,
are filled. Te, your.
Guna ganahi,
by transcendental qualities.
Yadi,
if.
Karnarandraha,
the holes of the ears.
The
translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. O Lord, we pray that you let us be born in any hellish condition of life, just as long as our hearts and minds are always engaged in the service of your lotus feet. Our words are made beautiful by speaking of your activities, just as tulsi leaves are beautified when offered unto your lotus feet. And as long as our ears are always filled with the chanting of your transcendental qualities. Purport. The four sages now offer their humility to the personality of Godhead because of their having been haughty in cursing two other devotees of the Lord, Jaya and Vijaya, the two doorkeepers who checked them from entering the Vaikuntha planet, were certainly offenders, but as Vaishnavas, the four sages should not have cursed them in anger. After the incident, they became conscious that they had done wrong by cursing the devotees of the Lord. And they prayed to the Lord that even in the hellish condition of life, their minds might not be distracted from the engagement of service to the lotus feet of the Lord, Narayana. Those who are devotees of the Lord are not afraid of any condition of life, provided there is constant engagement in the service of the Lord. It is said of the Narayana Pura, or those who are devotees of Narayana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
Nakutaschana Vivyati,
they are not afraid of entering a hellish condition. For since they are engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, heaven or hell is the same for them. In material life, both heaven and hell are one and the same because they are material. In either place, there is no engagement in the Lord's service. Therefore, those who are engaged in the service of the Lord see no distinctions between heaven and hell. It is only the materialists who prefer one to the other. These four devotees prayed to the Lord that although they might go to hell because they had cursed devotees, they might not forget the service of the Lord. The transcendental service of the Lord is performed in three ways: with the body, with the mind, and with the words. Here the sages pray that their words may always be engaged in glorifying the Supreme Lord. One may speak very nicely with ornamental language, or one may be expert at controlled grammatical presentation. But if one's words are not engaged in the service of the Lord, they have no flavor and no actual use. The example is given here of tulasi leaves. The tulasi leaf is very useful even from the medicinal or antiseptic point of view. It is considered sacred and is offered to the lotus feet of the Lord. The tulasi leaf has numerous good qualities, but if it were not offered to the lotus feet of the Lord, tulsi could not be of much value or importance. Similarly, one may speak very nicely from the rhetorical or grammatical point of view, which may be very much appreciated by a materialistic audience. But if one's words are not offered to the service of the Lord, they are useless. The holes of the ears are very small and can be filled with an insignificant sound, any insignificant sound. So how can they receive as great a vibration as the glorification of the Lord? The answer is that the holes of the ears are like the sky. As the sky can never be filled up, the quality of the ear is such that one may go on pouring in vibrations of various kinds, yet it is capable of receiving more and more vibrations. A devotee is not afraid of going to hell. If he has the opportunity to hear the glories of the Lord constantly, this is the advantage of chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. One may be put in any condition, but God gives him the prerogative to chant Hare Krishna. In any condition of life, if one goes on chanting, he will never be unhappy. Narayana Pura Sarve Nakutaschana Bibhyati Swarga Apa Varga Narakesh Apituliarta Darshanaha. The devotees who are dedicated, Narayana Pura, to Lord Narayan, they're not afraid in any situation. What is the karaka there? Bibhyati Kutaschana is appletive. Why? Bayaheto. So after the cause for fear, you put the ablative. They're not, but this says kutas. I guess that's from Kim. They're not afraid of anything, from anything. They view equally heaven, hell, and liberation. They don't see any difference. Even liberation, they don't see any difference from heaven and hell. Why the saptami there? They're equal. They have equal sight among these three, but I don't know why. Okay. It's the vishaya of their, it's the object of their sight. So it's adhikarana. It's where their eyes, their sight goes to. So it's the place. Satisfied in any condition. That's the Vaishnava. He's happy, as Prabhupada pointed out at the end. If we can get a taste for chanting Hare Krishna, if we can derive our happiness from devotional service, And specially recommended is this form of Nam Sankirtana. If we can get a taste for that and derive our satisfaction from that, rather than looking to various forms of external sense gratification and self-aggrandizement, material means of happiness, then we will be happy in any condition, even in hell. Advantage of chanting Hare Krishna. One may be put into any condition, but we can just be satisfied chanting Hare Krishna. But the one thing the devotees are afraid of, they're not afraid of any material condition, but they're afraid of aparad. Devotion is to serve Krishna, you've got to follow not material rules. It's not sadhana bhakti. We're talking about real bhakti. Sadhana bhakti has rules, but that's just practice. Just like you go to school and you learn something, like business. You go to business school, learn theoretically how business is done. And then when you get out of the school and you actually get a job, probably none of it, or very little of it, actually applies to your job, to the real life. You know, the theory and the reality don't always match very much. So like that, we have our rules of devotional practice, and for us they're very important. If we don't practice the rules, then we're in Maya. It's the difference between being in Maya and being engaged in Krishna's service for us. But from the point of view of one who is beyond that, who has taken full shelter at Krishna's lotus feet, who has established his relationship with Krishna, all these rules and regulations are silly. You know, they're not important anymore. You know, because, you know, why do you have to be told to chant Hare Krishna? Come on, that's what we like to do. It's like telling someone, don't forget to eat. You know, if someone has an appetite, he's going to go, you know, make an arrangement to eat. Doesn't have to be told. Make sure you eat every day. Now, you don't have to be, you know, told that. You do it anyway. You do it because you want to do it. So spontaneous devotional service, you want to chant Krishna's names. You want to serve Krishna. Nobody has to tell you to do it. And it's silly to have to be told. And also to make a ritual out of it is not necessary. You do it naturally. You know, not that you have to, every time you walk around Krishna, you have to twirl around this way, and grab your ears like this. That's silly. You know, that everything has to be ritualized. It has to when you're in the stage of practice. It's natural that you have rituals. And each temple has its own little rituals that's different than the next temple, which is okay in the stage of practice. But it's not completely natural. Natural is you do what's appropriate to the situation, and you do it based on your feelings, not just on some rule that somebody else made up. But it's appropriate. Sadhana bhakti is, Rupa Goswami explains in Bhakti Samhita Sindhu, is pushed by, it's impelled by the chodana, or the power behind it. Chod means to push. Like a ram is pushing you with his head, his horns, making you move. You see that, you experience that a lot in India if you're in a place where there's lots of other people. You get pushed a lot. Push and shove is Indian culture. The people don't mean anything by it, but they just, when they're in a crowd, they push and shove. So chud is to push, to shove. Dharma chodana lakshana, that is Jaimini's definition of dharma. Atato dharma jigyasa, that's his sutra. This is the Purvimimamsa. Atato brahma jigyasa, that's Vyasadeva's version. The earlier version, the Purvimimamsa, is atato dharma jigyasa. Let's just study what is dharma. Okay, let's define it. Dharma chodana lakshana. Dharma means to get pushed, to be impelled by the injunctions of the Vedas. That is what dharma is. Dharma means the injunctions of the Vedas. And that's what we're going to study, is what do the injunctions of the Vedas mean? And that's the whole shastra of Purvamimamsa, studying the meaning of the Vedic injunctions. And not even the other statements of the Vedas that aren't injunctions. They aren't important. The only important, really significant statements are the injunctions that tell you to do something. So how do we understand
the different statements the Vedas make to tell us what to do. That's Chodana. So we have Chodana in devotional service too, but it's different. And we have two versions of devotional service. In the first, in the Vaidhi Bhakti, our Chodana, the pushing agent, the one who's pushing us, is Shastra and Guru Nidesha. The Shastra and the specific personal instructions of our Guru. Shastra is Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam. For us, Bhakti Rasami to Sindhu, Hari Bhakti Vilas. These are our Shastras, our Shrutis and our Smritis. Bhagavatam is our Shruti. Bhakti Rasami to Sindhu, Hari Bhakti Vilas. These are our Smritis. That's our Chodana. And our spiritual master is explaining these books to us and giving us personalized instructions for time and place and for us as individuals. That's our Chodana. Vaidhi Bhakti, we have to follow them. We don't follow our instincts when we're practicing Vaidhi Bhakti. Our instinct will tell us to run off to Radha Kunda or take sannyasa next week, get married, and next week take sannyasa again. If we follow our instincts, we'll go crazy and make a fiasco. But we follow, it's Vaidhi Bhakti, the proper procedure is to follow the injunctions of Guru and Shastra. And so there may be rituals imposed. We may do things, go through motions, and even do things because other people are doing them. Not considering our personal feelings, because we can't trust our instincts, our feelings, when we're still in the stage of Vaidhi Bhakti. But the second version of devotional service is again different. There, we're impelled by intense lobha, greed, to get Krishna's association in his service. And that's what's pushing us. Things become natural, spontaneous. And then we learn how to trust our instincts. Of course, we get the blessings of our Guru. Go ahead, trust your instincts. He tells us you're ready for it. That we don't decide for ourselves when we're ready for Raghunatha Bhakti. If we do that, we'll make a mess of it and fall down. So many devotees do it. They whimsically, disregarding their spiritual master's instructions, decide they're ready for Raghunatha Bhakti. Read Narayan Maharaj's, the English version of Raghavarta Machandrika even. He warns us. Darshan Vishnu Chakravarti is warning, but in his purpose, Narayan Maharaj even, is warning, don't prematurely enter into Raghunatha Bhakti. You must have the authorization to do it. You must have the qualification before you pretend to begin your spontaneous service to Krishna. Otherwise, you'll spontaneously fall into Maya. But that's the Chodana. When you're actually ready to enter Raghunatha Bhakti, that's what will be your Chodana, what your heart dictates. That's nice. That's natural life. That we have a hope that in the future even, someday, maybe not in this life, but someday in the future, I'll be able to live like that. That's a nice prospect. That's the reason why we're putting up with this Vaidhi Bhakti. Because it leads to the awakening of bhava. Bhava Janmane. That's the purpose. Nimitta Panchami. This is our purpose. Why Panchami and not Tritiya? Anyway, that's our purpose. Is to awaken an actual attraction to Krishna, an actual ecstasy in our hearts. Then nothing will frighten us. One who's still on the stage of Vaidhi Bhakti, there may be things that can frighten him. Especially what we have to be frightened of is aparad. Aparad means bad service. Service has to be done. There's rules and regulations in Vaidhi Bhakti, but there's also standards of how things are properly done. It's spontaneous devotional service. You have to avoid rasa-bhasa. You have to avoid offensive behavior. You have to satisfy Krishna his way. You have to satisfy him through his other servants. We're servant of the servant of the servant. We can't do things whimsically. We have to, you know our place and not behave wrongly or arrogantly. If we behave wrong, then our service becomes bad. We're trying to serve Krishna, but we do it the wrong way. If we want to do some service to Krishna, we have to learn how to do it expertly. And it doesn't just mean mechanical expertise. It means having the right attitude in everything we do to Krishna, for Krishna. We are practicing serving Krishna, and we may be doing some practical things, but what's going on in our heart? How much attention are we paying to actually satisfying Krishna? We're acting fruitively, mostly. We're aiming at certain accomplishments, and then we'll give the fruit to Krishna. It's for Krishna. It's all for Krishna. But how much are we thinking about satisfying Krishna? We're not up to that level yet. But on that level of spontaneous loving service, there's no aparad. Or if there are, it's very subtle. Mistakes are made. Living entity can make mistakes. But because his attitude is right, his heart is pure, therefore the mistakes he makes is insignificant. But when we're still in a conditioned state, when we're not really ready for spontaneous devotional service, any false, premature attempt will generate aparads. Our attitude is not pure, therefore we're going to make mistakes. Not just technical mistakes, but really serious offenses, because our attitude isn't pure enough yet. That a devotee should be afraid of. Let me not become offensive against other Vaishnavas and Krishna. Let me be careful how I deal with Krishna and with his devotees. Until I become pure enough that I can trust my heart, let me be very careful about avoiding aparads. That's what the Kumaras are thinking about themselves. They're just beginners in pure devotional service. They just got introduced to it. Yeah. So they're careful. They're realizing we can go to hell for what we just did. And here's Lord Narayan. He's the judge and the jury. We may be going to hell in the next few minutes. So they're ready for it. They're ready to be punished. They're wary of the fact that they've committed a serious offense against Vaishnavas. But please, let us continue our devotional service despite that. Let us go to hell if necessary, or be put into a hellish condition. But we have to be allowed to continue cultivating our devotional service and remembering Krishna and serving his devotees. If we lose that privilege, then we're finished. So aparad is the one thing that especially a devotee who's still conditioned has to be very afraid of. Everything else he can gradually learn to give up fear. You don't have to worry about where you're going to find your next meal. Krishna will feed you. Devotees always get enough prasadam, although they may worry about it sometimes. You don't have to worry about all these other material problems. Krishna will take care of things. But being offensive, that we have to worry about. Until we become completely pure in our attitude. And then we'll be acceptable. We'll be fit to enter into the higher levels of devotional service. Okay, any questions or comments? Okay. All glory to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam.